Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to another Project Love podcast episode. And welcome back. We've been gone for just over a month, haven't we?
Yeah.
It feels like a million months since we last were together talking about my book, which was just about to come out. So today we're back here in the UK. We're starting to step out of lockdown. And we thought we'd talk about our experience of that, what we've been hearing people kind of talk about as they are stepping out of an enforced hibernation of over a year and slowly re-emerging into what sort of feels like normal life, but for me definitely doesn't yet feel like normal life at all still. I mean, restaurants haven't even opened yet, so not that I spend my life in restaurants, but we're slowly getting there. But how are you feeling, Vicky, about the re-emergence into the world after all this time indoors and lockdown and not seeing people?
I think I'm equal parts excited and apprehensive at the same time. I feel really excited about, all the reunions and getting back out there into the world, but also a little bit apprehensive at, things going back in the diary and also, what is this new normal, and in inverted commas, like, what is it? And it's not really a new normal, is it? It's just a new chapter that we're sort of entering into. So a little bit of apprehension just because there's a little bit more unknown, isn't there? A little bit more uncertainty and more adapting, because we've been adapting so much over the last, 14 months. And now it's more adapting in a positive way, because now we're able to reconnect with the world, with loved ones and everything else. And at the same time, it's adapting to this sort of new chapter.
Which takes a lot of energy. And I think it puts a lot of stress on us. I bet there's a lot of science behind that, behind the kind of psychological impact of having to adapt and the goalposts moving. And also, it's not like the virus is gone. Now there's the Indian variant that now is caused for a lot of concern. But I mean, there's lots of places in the world. We still can't, go from the UK, travel to see friends in other countries without having to come back to, quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks. Like, it's not anywhere near fully over. I think it's a bit confusing sometimes, because for me, sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, we're on our way out of lockdown, but we're still really in the thick of it. Like, we aren't returning to normal life. But what I'm finding interesting is what people are talking about is, first of all, the sensory overload that a lot of people are experiencing as they step out into the world. I haven't been into central London yet. Have I? No, I did. I went into Cannon Street and it was empty. I went into Cannon Street to go and get the Evening Standard, because I was in the Evening Standard with my book. I went into town to go and pick up about 10 copies of the Evening Standard. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, like wallpaper part of my study with them. But anyway, I've got them sitting there in a pile. My parents took half of them. But it was really eerily empty. So I was like, well, this isn't, and it was, like 2 p.m. on a Thursday or whatever day it was. And so that was eerily empty. But I do know people have been to like central London, where a lot of the shops are, and were just like, came scurrying home, feeling exhausted, feeling overwhelmed, feeling like someone was saying that, suddenly they can really smell London. Like, they hadn't noticed how strong the smells were, and just so much noise going on. They felt really like, oof, just it was all a bit too much. And to think that before, I think that was always going on. Well, I wonder if that was always going on for those of us who live in cities, but we'd sort of normalized it and lived in this sort of heightened, fight or flight state with all of that going on. Or if we've, been so cocooned for this time that re-emerging into the world of noise and sound and lots of people around is, like you say, just going to take a bit of adjusting to, and we'll we do adapt well, but it does always take effort. Always takes effort, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're creating new habits again, aren't we? You know, we've adapted so much and created all these new habits to kind of fit with the environment that we've been in. And now it's kind of like, you know, creating new habits to suit the new kind of chapter that we're entering into.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can imagine there is a lot of science behind this, of why it exhausts us, why it takes so much energy to adapt. And we are naturally good at it, as you say, but it does take effort, does take energy for things to become like automatic again. And even just like, you know, knowing like restaurants and cafes, you can sit in cafes inside from today onwards. So I went and got some lunch. Yeah, so on my way here, I'm at a co-working space at the moment, and on my way here I popped into a cafe to get lunch and I saw people sitting inside and I was like, wow.
And were there people sitting inside with laptops? I'm literally clutching my necklace bracing myself for this answer. Were there people allowed to relax and sit at their laptop?
Yeah, they looked relaxed.
Oh my god,
I know.
This is what I just as we're now we're talking about it, you know what, sometimes it's not until you get it back that you realize how much you've missed something.
Yeah.
That's what I've missed. Like, that's how I used to work so much of my time. I'd work from home, but I would often go out and like work from a cafe or work from a co-working space, and not being able to do that has really been I've really, really missed it. Oh my god. That for me, that's normal life. So if we can do that, I'm all good.
I felt really excited when I walked in. It took me by surprise. I'd forgotten that today, I think today was like marked as the day, but even probably on Friday, nobody really knew if that was actually going to happen. And I just looked around and everybody looked at peace. And I just thought,
They're out of the house for the first time in every year.
I just thought, God, my shoulders just dropped. And I thought, oh, wow, isn't that amazing that we can actually leave our homes and sit somewhere else? And not you know, sitting outside in the rain and wind and cold, but actually just be able to sit indoors, you know, work or just sit there and eat your lunch in peace. It was a really lovely scene and it got me really excited about the prospect of doing that again. Because it's like that freedom, it's like your passport to another environment, isn't it? You know, being able to work at a cafe again and go to the co-working spaces and things. So yeah, I'm with you. I think that actually excites me the most in terms of things unlocking.
Yeah. What about, I think one of the other things that I've definitely heard people saying is kind of overwhelming them, but also they're realizing now, looking ahead, they don't want to go back to the kind of level of socializing that they were doing before lockdown. One friend said to me, I can't imagine I'm ever going to be that person again that just meets up for dinner with a friend on like a Tuesday night. It's just like, well, you might do. I mean, never say never. But, you know, other people sort of feeling, some people have got every single weekend, they've got something booked up, and they have done since the lockdown rules sort of came out when they were going to start to be lifted.
Yeah.
Other people have felt completely overwhelmed by that. But overall, what I keep hearing from people is people who used to socialize a lot saying, I'm not going back to that. But here's the thing. What I'm interested in is how many of those people who are also people pleasers, which I would say amounts to about 98% of our listeners to the Project Love podcast, how are we going to navigate that? Because the invitations will be coming thick and fast. So if you do want to be saying no, I don't think people are desiring to say no more. What they want is to not be going out and socializing as much as they used to. So how are we going to manage saying no so that we can achieve that, Vicky?
It's really difficult because I think, like for me, I know I'm in a really good groove right now in terms of like, managing work and social stuff and self-care. And, you know, I'm in a really good rhythm with everything now. I feel really in balance. And I know also with all these, you know, invitations to fun things, I want to do those things. It's not like I want to say no. I want to do them. So that's the thing. It's like not even like I want to say no, but I can't. Sometimes it's like, no, but I don't want to say no. I want to do those things. They're really exciting. And then I just think, well, you know, it'll be interesting to see. It's all about finding that new balance now in terms of making sure there's lots of time in between social stuff to recharge.
So how, but I mean, then how do you think you're going to manage that? Because if you're enjoying this balance now, and as you start to get invitations coming in and you want to say yes to them, is it, do you feel like you're going to have like a bit of a rule of one day a weekend is for rest and recharging and recovery? How, what's your, you probably don't have a strategy going forward. I'm asking you in the, on the spot.
I don't have a
strategy.
I don't have a sort of a plan. But I think, I think one day on the weekend is, like realistic as well. There's not that much going on that I can't take a day on the weekends to, you know, sort of have as me time. So no plan in place yet, but feeling like that is a good sort of aim, you know, to have a day on the weekends to recover. But also I don't really have plans in the week, you know, in the weekdays. Apart from this week, I've got, I'm going to a restaurant on Thursday. Yeah. Actually going out for dinner. We're going to celebrate our 10-year anniversary, me and Pav.
Oh,
yay.
Amazing. So, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
A full decade of being together.
Yeah. 10 years.
Are you guys going to do, have you done like a reflecting back on those 10 years type?
We did. Yeah, exercise. We did that on our actual anniversary. We went for a walk and we each did 10 things, looking back, 10 of our favourite memories, looking back. It was so nice. It was so nourishing. Really, really special to do that. And it's just such a big amount of time to look back on, so many memories and good times. So it's really great to reminisce on that, reflect on that.
It's an incredible amount of time. We should do a goodbye, hello, anniversary type journal.
Oh, yeah. Enter the new decade.
Yeah, exactly. What a bad
idea. Good
idea. Heard it here first. One of the things I think is really important into, as we're kind of slowly emerging from the sort of thick of lockdown, I think, and I do keep talking about this with people, a lot of people are burning out at the moment. I know, obviously, because I've just come out with a book on burnout, that people will obviously be coming to me, talking to me about burnout. But even amongst my friends, I'm seeing a lot of people who really are, it's suddenly kicking in now. And of my clients as well. Mm-hmm. And actually, this is what I suspected would happen, because, you know, when you've gone through a really tough time and you've been surviving through it and adrenaline has been getting you through and you've been coping. And particularly if you're a coper, particularly if you're, you know, one that looks after other people, that holds it together, that keeps things going, you will be holding it together as the as you start to emerge from it, as you start to feel like, oh, finally, light at the end of the tunnel, we can relax now, we're coming out of the worst of it, that's often when it really kicks in, like what you've actually been going through. That's often when the wheels start coming off. And I think whether your wheels are starting to come off or not, if they are, I think it's very natural you're not alone. But I think also we do need to be gentle with ourselves. I think I said this recently in a Monday crew message. I keep saying it actually wherever I can, that I feel like we need to step into a period of recovery. And much as exciting to get out there and see friends and to hug, you know, finally have those delicious hugs, we do need to recognize what we've been through, and we're not out of it yet. So what we are still going through. And, you know, be really gentle with ourselves. I'm interviewing this week, I can't wait, Susie Redding. She's just come out, her latest book, Self-Care for Tough Times. is stunning.
Good timing.
So and it is like the best friend of Burnt Out, and they're made by the same publisher. They're both made by Asta, so they're the same, like not same design, but the book is the same shape. It's got the same sort of soft cover. It's like they fit perfectly together. If you know anyone who's going through a tough time, whatever it could be, whether they are burnt out, whether they are, you know, going through a sort of heartbreak, or they've lost someone, or, you know, grieving, it's such a beautiful book. And I think it really talks to where everyone's at the moment. Like, we've been through a tough time, and that tough time isn't quite yet over. And so it's about being gentle with yourself. And anyway, you'll hear about it in the next episode that goes out. Will be that one with Susie Redding. I'm really looking forward to talking to her about that. It's a brilliantly timed book, much like one on burnout.
Yeah, both of them. So in our podcast break over the last few weeks, in that break, you've launched your book, Burnt Out.
Oh God, yes.
And our interview was the week before, wasn't it, that it launched, yes, out into the world. So how how have you been finding just the last few weeks and having it out there and seeing the photos of people with the book in their hands? How have you found that?
It's been so, so good. I think I was just, it's funny because I didn't really have any expectations of what it would be like to have the book out in the world. I think sometimes people have like, think this is going to be the thing that propels them into stardom. And I was just excited that I had achieved a long held dream and it was finally going to be out there. And I was excited to share it with people. So I've really been able to enjoy it. And that was actually one of my intentions for this quarter, was to really enjoy and celebrate the book being out in the world. And what's been wonderful is definitely hearing people's feedback. A really close friend of mine said yesterday, actually, that when she read it, she burst into tears. She said, I felt so sick. She's really burnt out at the moment. She's just like, I felt so seen. And I was just like, oh my God, that's exactly, wow. That's exactly what I wanted. But what I've also just really enjoyed, the conversations around it as well. Like, you know, I'm learning so much. And actually, we just talked about people pleasing, but the topic of people pleasing has really come up again. And I do touch on it in the book, but I'm now realizing how really for a lot of people that burn out, that people pleasing and the kind of past emotional wounds that comes from, understanding that, it can play a really big part in burnout. So I'm still like, as I'm having these conversations and now the book's out there, I'm still learning about the topic, and I'm still kind of like, and it's really interesting as well to see which of the themes that people are really enjoying. So managing your energy seems to be the thing that everyone's just like, which it was for me as well. It was the part of the book that was such a game changer for me, really understanding how to manage your energy and the whole concept of it. So it's been exciting to see, people's response to it. It's very exciting. What can I say? And I was in the Evening Standard and I had a piece in the Telegraph.
I don't think I've seen the Telegraph one.
Yeah, there was a piece. Oh, I wrote a piece for amazing. The Telegraph. I missed seeing it in the newspaper because it was, they didn't tell me that it had gone in. So I just happened to Google it on Saturday and I was like, oh, there it is. Missed it, guys. It was in there. My mum was furious. She couldn't get her hands on a proper copy of it. But yeah, so those things, and it's funny though, you know what? It was wonderful being in the Evening Standard, and the amazing Katie Strick wrote did a whole interview with me, and she's written about us before, and she just really gets us, and she really got the book this time, and it's wonderful to have someone like that writing, you know, about you and about your book and things. But the achievements, like getting into the Telegraph, it's like, yeah, that's, I mean, it's great, but it doesn't feel as amazing as when a friend turns around and says, I burst into tears. Mm-hmm. I really felt seen. Like that's the thing that really, I could not ask for more.
God, so that is just the best feeling, to know that you've written something that's so from your heart that you've generously shared with the world, and then someone has picked it up and is just feeling so full of gratitude because you've just spoke directly to them and what they need. Like, that is so incredible. It's amazing.
That part, that really feels like real pinch myself dream come true, more than anything else, because I had said to myself, because when I was writing the book, the idea that I should write a book, that if I had set the intention to write a book that would have that kind of impact on someone, I just wouldn't have written a word. But I had given myself permission to just write something that was good enough, because it was my first book. So like, just, you know, just write something that's good enough. So to have that response is, yeah, really, really special, really amazing. So yeah, it's been good. It's really... I said to Emma Gannon, actually, I was just like, I feel like I'm sort of my whole, like, there's a whole sort of shift, like energetic shift that's happening with this kind of book going out. I wasn't expecting it to have such an impact, like, on me. I could feel like transformation happening on the inside. She went, yeah, that's quite common, actually.
Wow, is it?
She's like, yeah. Wow. And I was speaking to Britta Fernandez-Schmidt, who wrote Fears to Fierce, who I interviewed a few episodes back. And so she's had her book out. She said the same thing. It's like a catalyst. It's like an unexpected catalyst for change in your life that it can be. So I'm definitely experiencing some of that, holding on tight.
Amazing, because then it just keeps living on, doesn't it? You know, it's not just like you write a book and you put it out there and you're like, okay, what's next? It keeps living on through you and through the people who are, you know, connecting with it.
Yeah,
it's just incredible.
Yeah, so it's it feels pretty special.
Oh, so much to celebrate. Oh, God, so much in the last few weeks that's happened, and so much buzz and magic around the book, and really, really just taking another moment to celebrate you and all of your wonderfulness, and just to even write a book in a global pandemic.
God, I tell you what, it was lucky I was doing it at the start of the global pandemic, when I had the energy of a pre-pandemic woman, because I could not have written it in the second half of the pandemic. There's not a chance in hell. I mean, I didn't burn out, which is testament to the tools that I learned and kind of the guidance of my own book for myself. But I didn't have the energy to write a book in the second half of, you know, towards the end of last year and the start of this year. So, yeah, I was lucky I got it out when I did. So that I could then use it on myself for the remainder of the lockdown. And I did keep saying that, didn't I? I was like, can't wait for the book to come out, because I'm really finding it very useful right now, just to keep me grounded and, you know, anchored throughout all of this. Mm. I do think it's really taking its toll. That's why I do think we need to really go gently. And that's why books like Susie's book, Self-Care for Tough Times, I think is really relevant now, even though we might feel like we're coming out of the tough time. I think a lot of the sort of emotional kickback is happening for some people now. I've just definitely been noticing. So I think it's really important that we do go gently and don't thrust ourselves out of the cocoon too fast and too furiously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really healthy expectation as well, to not expect ourselves to sort of go out there in the world and go back to normal, you know, whatever normal sort of is. You know, I think everyone's actually now saying that term new normal isn't very useful, because it's more like it's more about entering into a new chapter. And I think, like, having the sort of that intention of gentleness and love, you know, and wrapping ourselves in love as we enter this new chapter is such a really beautiful intention, isn't it? To, you know, to approach it all with, because it could be so easy to just go, right, okay, let's try and go back to the way things were, you know, now that things are opening up. And it's just not, it's not going to be nourishing if we go and rush into it like that. So gentleness, is the key.
Yeah, because I think we're not the same as we were. we, you know, I'm not saying that we won't return to being, if you wish to, we won't return to being how we were, but I think that we, it really has taken its toll. We are a lot more sensitive to noise and sound and the, you know, the bustle if we live in cities and towns. You know, we're not as, I'm not saying that before we were like armored up and were hardened to it, but we were used to it, you know, and we haven't been used to it for 12 months. So we've, you know, it's like, I don't know why I'm comparing it to this, Vicky, but it's, you know, it's like in the summer when you go and have a pedicure and have all that hard skin taken off. You go and wear your new sandals and you get blisters. Terrible analogy. Not my, I should have done a garden one, Vicky.
Oh, I know but what you mean.
You know what
though.
I mean? But your skin is all soft. And then you go and put on like, I don't know, like a pair of flip-flops. And you get that rubbing, and you know, where places where you haven't been used to it.
But yes,
and so you're more sensitive.
Sensitive, yeah, that, exactly.
Are we getting the analogy?
It's a sensitivity. Yeah, I totally get it. It's a bit of a strange one because now I'm just imagining blisters. But yeah,
I'm not saying we're all going to go out and get blisters. So we've got to like take this analogy with a bit of a pinch of salt. But what I mean is, it's that, you know, we're soft. We haven't been used to. Just haven't been used to it, and so it's it could be overwhelming at the start of it, and so I am for one just going very gently. I think it's, you know, and everyone's, and some people might not feel like you need to do that at all, and they're just ready to get out there and see everyone and rush around town, and that's great. You know, everyone's got to do it in their own way, haven't they?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's all about just taking care of you in whatever, you know, whatever way that looks like for you.
Yeah. So I think that's a lovely place to wrap up our episode for this week. And yeah, just remember, particularly those of you in the UK who are starting to get back into going out and seeing friends and socializing, just remember to take it at your own pace and, you know, go gently. And check in with yourself as you go. You know, don't expect yourself to feel like you did before lockdown happened. It has taken its toll, and in ways that perhaps you might not even be aware until someone was telling me that my sister-in-law was telling me, who out in America, they're already going to restaurants and things, that she's an introvert. She regularly, when she goes out with friends to a restaurant, has to go to the toilets just to get a little bit of alone time. She's like, I never used to have to do that before. I was fine getting my alone time when I got home. But she has to go and take toilet breaks to just suddenly have a moment on her own, because it's all a bit much being in a restaurant, being with friends and socializing. So I think just being aware of what you need and giving yourself what you need and recognizing that we are those soft feet in a new pair of sandals at the start of summer. And with that, a very goodbye to all of you.
It's like basically the equivalent of take care is now, just expanding on your analogy one step more. It's like putting on those blister plasters in preparation.
What would your blister plaster be? Oh, brilliant. Vicky, it's wonderful to be back and talking to you as ever. Yeah. And I look forward to, we've got some great guests coming up over the next few weeks.
We do.
And looking forward to more juicy chats with you, Vicky.
Yay, so good to be back. And me too.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.